A lot of love for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Not a lot of people sad to see her go. And I'll tell you, as I tweeted out today, good, bye. That, to me, it's that simple. Good, bye. Now, will she run for Senate? Who knows? Will she run for governor? Which is what, you know, Trump had tweeted out. Who knows? I just got to think a lot of stink on her going into any campaign she's ever going to run. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on this. Also, the other big news of the day, Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So, any sads in seeing Sarah Huckabee off exit stage left?
Well, I've been kind of criticized. I've been doing stations since 6:30 this morning. Kind of got a little bit of heat for the following comment I'm going to make. I think you'll appreciate it, though, of all the stations. I think she did an absolutely spectacular job. I mean, she works for Donald Trump, Rick. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go out and you say something, then you go back to the White House, and then, oh, is that what really happened? I'm taking the opposite direction here.
Yeah, you're going with she did a great job of being flexible and trying to lie over the lies. Is that where we're going with this?
Right. You know, she actually, I think what helped her in remaining longevity is, you know, she followed Sean Spicer, who just got decimated. Now, I don't know her. I actually did know Sean Spicer, but because he was around the Hill. But, you know, he just got decimated, and she came in. I don't think she's honestly going to hurt for a job. Everybody that I know is saying she's going to be jobless. I don't believe that because now a lot of people that have left the White House have had problems because it used to be, you work in a White House, you're done for the rest of your life, you're set, and people have had trouble that have worked there. But I don't think in her case, if anything, look, she'll be picked up by Fox News.
Oh, absolutely. She's combative. She's all of that stuff. But, you know, to be honest, the people who left and are having a hard time finding a job, I don't know that we're anywhere near qualified to do the jobs that they were doing to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, for example, I'll tell you, now he doesn't want a job, but I think that General Kelly did an admirable job as chief of staff, trying to keep, you know, the family at bay, the son-in-law, you know. He grabbed John Bolton by the collar, I think, or the shirt, you know, and things which makes me a hero, him a hero in my eyes. But I think there was a couple of them, but, you know, there's some of them that just, they just weren't qualified. I mean, the one thing about President Trump, when he came in, he had Mike Pence, who has been around, you know, Pence knows the legislature, and I thought he would rely more on him, but I don't think he has at all.
No, not at all. You know, he's doing his deal. And I don't think she'll hurt for a job either.
No.
I don't, because, you know, obviously she, you know, her father's Mike Huckabee.
Right.
I just don't think she's, I could be wrong. I don't have my thumb on the pulse of Arkansas, but governor of Arkansas, I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't followed Arkansas politics, honestly, since Bill Clinton days, so I don't know who's what or where by now.
If that's the case, sad, sad state of affairs. Let's move on to the other big, big issue of the day. Didn't we just do a couple of years of we didn't collude with the Russians, we didn't get anything from them, to now coming out and saying, hey, if they give us stuff, we'll take it? I mean, isn't this really kind of the dumbest thing ever? I guess I'm just dumbstruck by how just insane the comments that Trump made to Stephanopoulos are.
Well, you know what? I originally thought, when I, you know, heard the story, I thought, wow, you know, why would you say that? And then I really thought about it, you know, and I've been reporting on this story all day long, and I started to think about it. And I think in his rationale, in his mind, he's thinking, okay, I don't want to get in a situation where I say, which a normal reaction would have been this. It would have been, yes, you know, on second thought, after what happened, we want to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I think he doesn't think anything wrong happened.
No, agreed.
And he's not going to admit that he would do anything different because he didn't do anything wrong in the first place.
Right. So he's doubling down on it.
Yeah.
No, I said that at the beginning. You know, and ultimately, this idea of win at any cost, and it doesn't matter what the cost to win is, that's also his mentality.
Right. And look, I was telling shows today, I have done opposition research. I have been opposition research from the moon back to the earth. If a member has not done opposition research, the political parties do it for them. It's a way of life, and it is seeking dirt. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat the thing. It's seeking dirt.
Right.
However, we normally do opposition research within the United States and from the United States, and that's the difference. So when they say today, well, it's opposition research, well, there's a difference of a firm you hire or the political parties hire and a foreign government.
Right.
There's a distinction.
So do you think that was a call? I mean, you know, everyone's pointing back to when he said, hey, Russia, if you're listening, go get those emails. Do you think this was a call for other foreign agencies, for spy networks to maybe be willing to wheel and deal with some information on the Democrats?
I don't know. You know, he could have sent it privately, or it's just his style. That, you know, that I don't know. The only thing that during the election, that when people started saying, oh, they were digging up dirt, oh, please.
Right.
The Clintons do it. You know, they probably, the only guy that didn't do it's Bernie Sanders. Probably. Yeah, but his staff might have. But people dig up the dirt. It's just where the dirt comes from.
Yeah. Now, you ran a number of campaigns over your career.
Yes.
Had a Russian asset come to you and come to your staff and said, hey, I've got something on your opponent, what would you have done?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have been near, you know, if that happened. And you don't do that. And second of all, you would dismiss really anybody from as a foreign entity. Now, if they came to you and said, I have something to tell you, you can go ahead and listen. Not the candidate. Not the candidate.
Yeah, you never put the candidate, your body people never put you in that position.
And honestly, nobody of high level. That's where you wouldn't even send your chief of staff. You'll send your legislative assistant or something. You know, you'd do that. And then because they might say, we want to tell you something. Congress, look, I had a request for a meeting in my office from the ambassador from Switzerland to Iran. And when I said, what does he want? And they said, it's something very private. And I said, okay. And they came in to meet, and they had an offer for the Bush administration for communication with Iran that would have really benefited the United States. Now, you know, had though they started to say something else, we would have had to have had a dismissal of the meeting.
Right. Now, this wasn't about you getting campaign money.
Except they didn't in Trump Tower.
Right.
They didn't.
Yeah. So let me ask you the other side of this, because the other response from the right has been that, well, you know, Christopher Steele was a foreigner and you hired him to do the opposition research. Ultimately, the Republicans, I think it was Cruz that hired them first, and then Clinton picked up on it. If I remember, that's how it worked out. But Fusion GPS was an American company who hired a former, you know, MI5 agent, right?
You know, I haven't. He was right. The company didn't the company contact him? Then the company was hired, right? Fusion.
Fusion GPS was an American company hired an MI5 agent who did this dossier, the Steele dossier, and then they ultimately turned it over to the FBI. But the response from the Republicans has been, well, see, this is what the Democrats did, and you know they're trying to make this false equivalency that I don't agree with. I'm curious if you see the connections.
No, I mean that's a whole different world. If you hire an American firm, then they go out and hire some other people to get information. That's not like directly the foreign entity coming to you, I assume, right?
Yeah, but ultimately, at the end of it, they still handed it over to the FBI. And this is the interesting part of this, that even Trump was even saying, well, no, I wouldn't, because in the real world, you know, we don't do that. And for me, the other part of this has been, you know, this is how business is done in this country. You know, he's running the country like a CEO, and this is how CEOs operate. They're dictators. This is what you get when you get a corporate president.
Right.
At least that's my view. Now, the question is impeachment. I mean, because now you've got people really screaming from the rooftops going, look, he's basically admitting he'll do it again. You know, and where are the Republican, where are the Democrats at on this? I mean, where are the presidential candidates on this?
They still can't impeach him over that, and it's just, I just don't see impeachment in the works. If you do the count, I think it's 45 or 50 are sort of on record. Maybe not all of them publicly. So it's just not there.
Not in the Senate, but you know, ultimately in the House, they would bring the articles and there would be a hearing and all that. And at this moment, I'm with you. There's just no way they remove him from office.
Right. Right.
But you know, this is one of those issues that, you know, the Democratic candidates, again, you know, are going to have to figure out where they're at. And do we have any sense of where the field is, or are they just scattered all over the place?
Well, yes, 10 of them have said they would impeach. And 13 of them have not said that. I'll put it that way, have not said that.
Right. Again, just like everything else, split right almost down the middle. Let me ask you about the other big event. Evidently, another tanker hit. Are we ready? Is it time yet? Are we? Is Bolton, you know, pushing the levers yet?
Well, yeah, let me say something about the tanker hit. There were two tankers. Prime Minister of Japan was in Iran for a multitude of reasons, but also to say to Iran, you and the United States ought to talk.
Right.
So, as a result of that, this is a theory I have, of potential sources where it came from, because the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia have said, oh, it was, quote, state-sponsored. What's that mean? That means Iran. The Japanese ship was hit as the Prime Minister was in Iran. First of all, the Iranian government itself would not hit the Japanese ship while the Prime Minister is there. That is just a fact of life, period. They're not that dumb. However, a rogue element in Iran could have been angry that you know, this Prime Minister is trying to get Iran and America to talk, because there's right-wing elements that are just like Bolton over there that don't want either country to talk, right?
Right.
So that's possible. Number two, the Saudis, who I think sabotaged their own tankers about 3 months ago, that's why nobody pushed, John Bolton couldn't push the war buttons, because even our media wasn't stupid enough to buy into it, that the Iranians did that to the tankers.
Thank goodness.
But the Saudis could have hired somebody or found a rogue element in Iran to do it. So I don't trust the Saudis. They could have easily have done it, because they want us to go to Iran and spill our blood over there. The other thing is, now, this is way out there, Rick, but I'm going to throw it out there. The oil futures jumped. Boom. Happy days are here again. Guap, as the young people say. Money. They made money, right? The oil futures jumped. Maybe somebody in the oil industry who had shares hired somebody to do that. I'm being serious.
No, that's real. That's real conspiracy talk, Bob.
Oh yeah. I'm putting on my tinfoil right now.
But you know, the sad thing is when you're talking the amount of money that could be made off of something like this, it's not too far gone.
Sure. I mean, billions could be made if you had enough investment in things. So, I mean, I don't doubt anything. I just don't believe it was the Iranian government that did it.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's one of those things.
People want a war so bad, so bad.
No, it's one of those things that's, you know, again, frightening on so many levels. Whenever one of these little hiccups, whenever something like this happens, that they're going to use this as the justification. Because as we've talked about in the past, Bolton has basically come out and said that any reason whatsoever is good enough for them. This could be one of those scary stuff.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, just concerning on so many levels with this. There's also a story in here that evidently the Democratic candidates are falling behind with black voters. Walk me through, what's that looking like?
Well, what's ended up happening, they are. For example, they're not even that excited, for example, African-Americans about Cory Booker. I think what I'm assuming on here and trying to analyze this is this. Right now, you know, African Americans, that doesn't mean they're supporting Trump. But what might have happened is, you know, Obama was in such had such great support by the African American community.
Sure.
He really did, and naturally, you know, and he had by the Caucasian community too, but by the African American community. So they were very, very excited, and first African American president, you know, on and on and on. And so I think right now none of the candidates are standing up to the measure, I think. And so that's why probably it's like that.
And his endorsement will carry an awful lot of weight if and when he ever does that. But, right. I'm not surprised Cory Booker is not high on the list because he is the only candidate that I just won't vote for in the primary. There's just no way I would even consider voting for Cory Booker.
I mean, I'm not a and looking at the candidates, I personally am not a Cory Booker fan. You know, I just don't see a genuine deal out of him.
Yeah, for me, the charter school issue is just a non-starter, just an absolute non-starter. Because, charter schools have just been so bad and such a drain on the public education system and really the poison pill designed specifically to destroy public education, in my view, that I can't vote for somebody who's going to be, that all in for it. Just can't. Also, Beto O'Rourke, I guess, went after Biden a little bit.
Right. Beto is at 2%. And so as a result of that, I think he's, on the attack, obviously, being at 2%, I would assume.
Now,
his campaign people said he wasn't going to be doing this.
Right.
And now he's doing it. I don't know. We'll see if he goes to 3% or not.
Yeah. He basically just called him old.
Right.
I mean, if I get it right, Biden's, he's the past. He's just the old guy in the room. We need to move past him, is what I understand, how he framed it.
Mm-hmm. Correct. That's right.
Yeah, so again, you just kind of wonder, was this the best tactical move? I don't think so.
I mean, I'm looking at it, and I know what he's doing. He's so far down, he's trying, but I think he's got to be careful because if this doesn't go anywhere, does he continue to try to go after Biden? I mean, I know that Biden is the one that, everybody's talking about that they have to get, but you got to watch how you get them.
Now, I'm not excited by Beto. I wasn't all that excited by him as a candidate in Texas, and I'm even less so as a candidate for president. I just don't see how you can say, I lost the Senate race in Texas by a little bit. I can go on to be not, just not seeing it. And finally, the Green New Deal. I guess they're trying to write it out and having some trouble.
Well, they are. I mean, here was the strangest thing in a sense about the Green New Deal. They developed the Green New Deal, and then you're sitting there going, okay, what is the Green New Deal? And then they weren't ready for prime time with it, and then there was a lot of information out there, some accurate, some not. But here's the bottom line of the Green New Deal. They had this event. They were trying to get people. There was a progressive think tank, involved. And they didn't have one single union individual there.
Yeah.
No one showed up. Not one. You have to have unions. I mean, you have to at least have a union interested enough to come ask a question.
No, you're right. This is where Jay Inslee, in his climate change policy, has really tried to reach out to labor. And I think he's doing it right. Maybe they should ask him to write it.
Right. So I was very surprised when I read that. And if you don't have any of the union people involved, then I think it just isn't a starter.
Yeah, do you think it's that they just don't, that, the generation, I mean, Ocasio-Cortez was one of the lead people on it, and you had a lot of young energy. Do you just think they don't know, that they just don't get that, labor is still somewhat important in the political process? Because, I look at the millennial generation as someone who they just, every person I talk to, every progressive I talk to, they don't quite get the importance of organized labor and why you need to have strong unions, and they just don't seem to get it.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not seeing coalitions by these candidates, with the unions out there. I mean, one union, firefighters, has endorsed Joe,
They came out for Biden, right.
Right.
Yeah, they did it at Teamsters Hall. So, maybe I'm not saying the Teamsters are in for Biden, but I found it interesting that the firefighters did their endorsement at the Teamsters Hall there in Pittsburgh. It's just, okay. Interestingly enough, you know, I know the guy who's the head of the Central Labor Council out there, who's a firefighter, who we couldn't get to come on the program to talk about the event. So again, it's interesting times on the Democratic side of the aisle, but we'll see how this plays out. Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Rick.
Talking with you.
You too.
Good stuff. Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.